Now, a story about a booming industry that has thousands of Americans hard at work on manufacturing lines. They're making all kinds of things, shoes, mattresses, eyeglasses, even furniture, and they're bringing in millions in profits. It's a success story, but as NPR's Laura Sullivan reports, not everyone is happy about it.
Foreman Miles Appleton runs his factories with an eye for detail. He points to each product, watching carefully as items move down the assembly line.
This is the mattress and the upholstery factory. This is all state-of-the-art. This is all brand-new equipment.
Appleton surveys his crew, ripping the fabric off old furniture.
They're all master upholsters. And the skills to do this, it takes years to teach somebody.
He leans over an upholsterer, carefully stapling leather into a seam.
So these are really some of the most skilled inmates I have in the jail.
This factory is inside the State Correctional Institution in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Behind heavy doors and armed guards, it takes 5 minutes just to get inside. Just about any other busy factory would be reveling in success. But this prison factory and more than 1,000 like it across the country are under attack.
Our workers are competing against China. They're competing against South Korea, Japan. The last thing they need to do is be competing against Americans who are in jail.
From his office on Capitol Hill, Michigan Congressman Peter Hoekstra has led the fight against prison industries. Last year, he abolished the rule that forced government agencies to buy goods and products from prisons first. Now he wants to take prisoners out of the commercial factory business altogether. He says prisoners should work only for nonprofits and prison upkeep.
It is basically unfair that an American worker who goes to work, they abide by the law, they pay taxes, they go home, they put food on the table for their family, that these people should lose their jobs to people in federal prisons without even having the opportunity to compete for those jobs.
Trouble started for prison industries a few years ago when their factories began turning huge profits. With barely any labor costs and a guaranteed buyer in the federal government, these products were moving fast. Then the recession hit, unemployment soared, and legislators took notice. Now, state prisons are worried that what goes for federal prisons will go for them as well. Here in northern Pennsylvania, the prison overlooks a string of long-neglected mill and mining towns. Inmates walk openly from factory to dining hall, classroom to recreation yard. In the furniture factory, Doug, a 34-year-old inmate from Lancaster County, sits intently at a table. He's removing fabric from the seat of an old hospital chair. Behind his wire-rimmed glasses, he has a look of accustomed repetition. Doug is serving a 14 to 40-year sentence for murder and has been in prison since he was 24. He spent the first few years of his sentence at the county jail.
In the county jail that come out of, no one worked. There was nothing for people to do, so that's all they did there was, you know, fight every day. There was fights in the jail.
Prison officials asked that we not use Doug or other prisoners' last names to avoid celebrity.
I've got an opportunity to make it back to the street. A lot of guys don't. That's been convicted of something similar to my crime. And I was like, I'm going to do everything possible to turn my life around and get the heck out of here. And I'm going to do it. I got two daughters, you know, that miss me, and I got to do it for them.
Inmates can earn as much as $160 a month working in the most lucrative jobs. Most use their wages to buy food, shampoo, and snacks from the commissary. Some send money home to their families. Others save money for the day they get out. Shop foreman Miles Appleton, whose official title is Correctional Industries Manager, walks past the prison's embroidery station. Machines are hemming the logo of a local police department into golf shirts. He says putting prisoners to work rehabilitates them.
If you don't do something to try to change the behavior, then it's like a big revolving door. And when they get back outside, the person that's complaining about them doing work may be the one that's assaulted by one of these phones.
Another state, another noisy factory. But this one in Zeeland, Michigan, is not behind bars. Men line stations churning out desktops and office cubicles. This factory belongs to furniture maker Herman Miller. The company was hit hard by the recession. It laid off more than 4,000 workers, almost half its workforce. During those same years, federal prison industry saw its furniture manufacturing grow 30%.
They pay no taxes, and they pay their employees a buck or less an hour. It's an outrage.
Standing just above the factory floor, Mark Sherman, head of public affairs for Herman Miller, looks around at the employees below. He says there's more at stake than company profits.
We're talking about people, human beings with families that they're providing for, and to suggest that they are somehow less important than prisoners who everyone agrees needs to have opportunity for rehabilitation. But should they be doing that at the expense of those people who are, in fact, doing their best to provide for their families? I don't think so.
Since Congress started limiting federal prison industries, it has lost 10% of its jobs and closed 13 factories. Furniture maker Herman Miller is hiring again. Still, the Bureau of Prisons made more than $660 million last year from prison industries. But one official said the Bureau is trying to lay low. It would not grant NPR access to one of its factories or inmates and declined to comment for this story. The cutbacks are coming at a time when federal prisons are experiencing record populations, fewer programs, and more attacks on guards. And there's something else to consider. More than 500,000 prisoners will be released back into society this year. These days, Alfreda Robinson wears an executive business suit. She proudly shows off her office at the Maryland Justice Coalition in Baltimore.
And Sarah is our budgeting person.
She spent 10 years in federal prison for drug conspiracy. She points to a picture pinned to her office wall. It's a picture of herself as a prisoner and a life she never wants to return to.
And it does have my eight numbers, 28611037.
She figures she did 10 different jobs for federal prison industries, and she didn't like any of them.
You know, job satisfaction, just don't even think about that. There is no such thing as job satisfaction.
But she says a lot of the women she met in prison had never worked.
The drug culture, they don't work. They have hustling boyfriends. They work at getting the manicurist to do their nails and their hair and shopping. So you actually have to teach people the work ethic, and that's not the greatest place to get it, but you do get it. You get the getting up early, you get the accountability, you get the day-to-day involvement. So there are things that you can pull out of that experience.
For all the debate, most inmates will never have that work experience. Prison Industries employs only about 10% of prisoners, despite the thousands on waiting lists in each state. Most will have to find their own way into the working world when they get out, and most will fail. More than two-thirds of those released this year will wind up right back in prison. Laura Sullivan, NPR News, Washington.
The person on the other end of that helpline could be behind bars. Laura Sullivan explores the latest trend in prison industries exclusively on our website, npr.org.